Have you ever set a personal goal for yourself and you had to work hard for it? Anybody? You set a personal goal? Maybe it was diet. I'm going to lose some weight. Or maybe at the first of the year, I'm going to join a gym and I'm going to try to put on some strength, or I'm going to walk more, or I'm going to try to get organized this year. This year, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get organized. Sometime, I'm going to get organized. Have you ever run a race? Anybody ever run a race? I know Roger does the Atlanta Peachtree Road Race. Kathy does a race. I saw your hand up. I used to run in 5Ks. I mistakenly got in a 10K one time because there wasn't a line, and I thought, oh, well, I'll get in this line over here, and I realized, oh, this is twice as long. I'm running. I don't know if you call it running. Start off, you know, and I'm realizing people are a lot slower than me, so I'm thinking like, man, this is going to be easy, until I realize, oh, they are pacing themselves. I have no idea what pacing yourself even means. I'm running halfway through. I'm thinking of a shortcut. I found one. We started out at the old Atlanta Turner Stadium, and you're going up this way. It's a hunger run or whatever, and we're going up this way. And I see everybody running down the street here, but I see this alley that cuts across, and I see some runners coming down this way. So I do whatever that lady's name was that did that in the Olympics and tried to get away with it, where she got in a car and ended up, you know, 2 hours earlier than everybody else showing up, and they're wondering what. So I took that alley, and I still lost. It was crazy. You get in a race, and you feel like giving up halfway through. Your legs ache, your lungs burn, the finish line just seems miles away, but then you see it. And I remember Steve Morris and I were running on this one thing. He says, hey, the cross-country team is having a race over at the beach, and it's probably not a cross-country thing. It's just to raise money for that. No, it was cross-country. We were running through the woods and crossing over creeks and stuff. And I remember Steve and I are together, and we're running and talking, and I see the prize. I see the prize. And he and I are in the same age group. And I went, watch this. Boom, and I blow past them, and I went in, and I finished strong. And I won third place in my age division. I think there were four of us. Steve didn't get a prize. I got the last one. It was kind of crazy. Press on. Don't give up. Press on. Start our devotions, and we start strong each day. I'm going to do this each day, but then we miss a day, and then we miss another day, and then miss another day, and it's hard to get back into it. Press on. That's what Paul is trying to tell us in this passage that I'm getting ready to read. Paul's painting a picture here. He's warning against putting confidence in our credentials, who we are, who we think we are, what we've done, our past achievements. Instead, he tells us to keep pressing on towards Christ, because that's our goal. This is Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then I'm just going to break down part of it for us. It says, finally, my brothers, rejoice. And again, we're talking about having joy in our journey. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. In other words, don't count yourself as important, but then he goes into why he's important. If anyone else thinks he has a reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more, he says. Circumcised on the eighth day, which is what you're supposed to do, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in the shame with their mind set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lonely body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. If you're looking at verses 2 through 21, you kind of break it down in these four points. Go forward and not back. Imitate the things that are good. Separate from the world. In other words, be an ambassador. You're an ambassador here, but you're really a citizen of heaven. And be transformed. And we could end it there. And some of you are shaking your head, yeah, Paul, land the plane, end it there. But no, I just want us to think about a couple things. Pressing on, pressing on, pressing on. What does that mean? First off, our righteousness is found in Christ, not in our works. It's not the things that we've done. Forget the things that you've done. Margie and I, since my mom has moved out, we have been redoing basically our whole house. You know, we're changing this room around. We're changing this room around. The other day, I actually opened up our attic that's in the garage, and I just opened it, and I looked around, and I went, whew, and I just closed it back up, and just, like, it could just stay there. Paul says this, whatever gain I had, I counted it as loss for the sake of Christ. So the reason I'm up in the attic, I'm looking around just to see, we're in this, we're going to throw away everything mode. And so, you know how one man's trash is another man's treasure? I probably have a lot of treasure for y'all, you know, if y'all want to come. But as I'm sitting there looking in this thing in the attic, I see these boxes of trophies and plaques and all of these things that when I was younger meant a great deal to me. You know, oh, Paul, you got the Best Actor Award in Clayton County. Yes, in 1978. It's in a box in my attic. My baseball trophies are in a box in the attic. I don't even have my diplomas on the wall. Margie has a diploma from our junior college that we went to in the garage hanging on the wall, and it's sideways. And it's kind of coming out, and it's old. These are things that in the moment defined us. And we thought, this is important. This is who I am. Look at this. I've been kicked out of so many schools. I have diplomas from four or five different colleges and universities. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And Paul is saying, I look at my list of my credentials. I'm circumcised. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm a Pharisee, zealous, blameless. But then he says, I consider it all loss. It's no good. It's in a box in my attic. It doesn't matter for anything. He contrasts these Jewish credentials that people would say, like, oh, you have to listen to him because look at his resume, to saying, like, no, Christ's surpassing worth is what's important. Those are worthless trinkets in the box in my attic compared to the treasure that I find in Jesus Christ. What are you tempted to lean on in your life? Is it your career? Is it your reputation? Is it your religion? Is it because you go to the coolest church on the block? The only thing that makes us right with Christ is Jesus. The only thing that makes us right with God is Christ, is Jesus. He reconciles us to God the Father. And that was God's plan all along. And that's what's important, not, you know, Paul, you hit a home run. You got the game ball during this one game. you know, my grandson, I'll tell you what will humble you. You know, you come in saying like, yeah, I was an athlete. I played baseball. I hit a home run. My grandson hits home runs like it's nobody's business. Of course, his other grandfather gives him $100 every time he hits it. So that would have sparked me too. I hit one ball over the fence my whole 6 years that I probably played baseball. Thought I was important, and you find out that it really doesn't matter for anything. So our righteousness is found in Christ. It's not the things that we do. It's not the pedigree that we bring. It's not how big our Bible is. It's not how many Bibles we have in the house. It's not how many verses we've memorized. It's none of that. It is simply the righteousness of Christ that is given to us and is at work in us with the Holy Spirit. The second thing that I think Paul is saying in this long passage is to forget what's behind and move on towards what's ahead. He says this in verse 13 and 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind, straining toward what's ahead, I press on to the goal. The imagery that Paul's giving us here is an athletic, a runner that's stretching toward the finish line, not looking back, but he's focusing, looking forward. We've all seen, maybe you all haven't, maybe you're not on the internet a lot or whatever, but there are so many things out there on either TikTok or YouTube or anywhere, Google, you can Google, and you'll see someone in a race, and they're showing the race, and the guy is so far ahead. What does he do? He starts kind of waving to the crowd. He's not focused on where he's going, and what happens? You see another guy pass him through, and then all of a sudden it wakes up, but it's too late. He took his eye off the prize, and he's focusing more on what he's feeling and focusing on himself. Watching a runner glance backward, why? It slows him down. And Paul is saying, don't let the past, don't keep looking over your shoulders at your past failures or your past successes. Quit looking at what lies behind, and that keeps you from running forward to Christ. We talked about that in our Sunday school class. Again, what is it that we try to make excuses sometimes for God? Well, maybe I don't know the scriptures enough. It's just an excuse. Maybe, you know, what if they ask me a question, I don't know the answer. That's an excuse. And we're good with excuses. But what do we need to do to release ourselves from our past? The guilt that God has already forgiven, but we kind of hold on to. Is it pride over our past achievements and we're just upset things aren't the same as they used to be? But we have to press forward into knowing Jesus more. I've used the visual before, like sometimes we have this old t-shirt and it's got holes in it, but it's so comfortable. Man, it's awesome. Can't even find a t-shirt like that anymore, you know? And you wear that t-shirt and then your wife finally says, you got to get rid of that thing. And so we take it off. We take off the old, right? Because she's giving me the new. And that's what God does. He takes off the old and he's giving you the new. But what do we want to do? Man, I don't want to put this in the Goodwill pile. I don't want to put it in the throwaway pile. What I'm going to do is fold it back up, put it in the drawer when my wife's not looking. I'm going to pull it back out because it's comfortable. And I'm going to sit around the house with this big old holy t-shirt and I don't even wash it because it'll bring bad luck if I wash it. That's an example. I really wouldn't do that. Margie would be long gone if I did something like that. But the idea is, why do we always go back? Because it felt comfortable. You know, I'm starting to get my life on track, but then something kind of knocks me to the side for a minute. So what do? I go back to what's comfortable. Peter denies Christ. So what does he do? He goes back to what's comfortable. He goes back to fishing until Jesus gets his attention and he comes back and cooks him breakfast and says, Peter, go and feed my sheep. Quit looking at our past achievements. Quit looking at our past failures because God is not looking at your past failures. And God could care less about your past achievements. And the third thing that I think Paul is really going through there is he's saying that we are citizens of heaven and we're just waiting Christ to come back. We are ambassadors here because our home is not here. says this in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul closes this whole section by reminding them that their citizenship is in heaven, and we're eagerly awaiting Christ's return. Paul, in Rome, during that time, Roman citizenship was a prize status. Paul redirects the believers to their true citizenship. Yeah, you may be a Roman citizen, but that really doesn't matter. You are Christ. You're part of a heavenly kingdom. You are different. It's like I shared during our prayer, Merrick is actually going to be coming to speak with us in November. He's going to come one of the Sundays in November. But he's coming to Texas to this huge church that he's connected with. Then he's going to go preach in North Carolina. He's going to preach up in Brooklyn to almost as many Polish people up there in New York and Chicago as there are in Poland, the whole country. So he's going to be speaking up there, and then he's going to come in and he's going to share with us. And so Steve and I had the opportunity to go over to Poland. And we're in Poland, right? And we're seeing all, and it's cool to be in Poland, but we're not Polish. We had an American passport. And the American passport was really actually awesome. And so I am visiting Poland, but I am representing everything I do. They're judging, oh, so this is what Americans do. Everything that I say, everything that I do, oh, that's what y'all do in America or whatever. So we kind of were like ambassadors for America. When you're out in society today, you are an ambassador for Christ. What are people seeing about the Christian life, the way that you're living? When you cut somebody off in traffic or somebody cuts you off in traffic and you're letting them know, hey, you're number one with a different finger, are you representing Christ? Because you are not a citizen here, you're a citizen of heaven. But they are judging the church, they are judging Christ by your behavior. It's tough to be an ambassador. It's tough to be a representative. We live here on earth. We live in this crazy time of mask mandates and political divisions and society and upheaval all around the world, and wars and famine and rumors of wars. And we live in these times, but our ultimate allegiance is not here. It's to heaven. It's to His kingdom and His return, where He will set everything right. There was a hymn that we used to sing, an old hymn in the Methodist Church. It was this: this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And so what he is saying in the song is the same thing that Paul is saying in this passage. We live today with eternity in view, and we're pressing on towards that goal. Let our decisions, let our values, let our hopes reflect that true citizenship and not what we're doing today in our own flesh and our own strength. Paul's joy wasn't in and found in his past achievements. He laid them out and said, hey, you want to go down that road? Here it is. I'm more, is what he was saying. But I don't count that as anything. He uses the word rubbish, which is skabala, which is not translated officially as rubbish. There's not an easy way to say it, so I won't. You can look it up if you want. Go to Google, look up skabala, and it will tell you. Paul was calling it like he saw it. So what does this mean for any of us today? What are we supposed to do with this passage, pressing on? Well, what is one way intentionally this week, personally, that we can maybe lean into this? Maybe in our prayer time, maybe in our scripture, maybe in obedience. Maybe it's, you know, God, I've been trying to rest on my past achievements, my past accomplishments. God, what is it that you are saying to me personally? And then community, how do we connect this community-wise? Well, maybe find a group. We got small groups that's starting on Wednesday night. Come to dinner, hang out, food, fellowship, and then break into small groups. And then share with a friend maybe where you need encouragement in your life, maybe an area where you're struggling. And you're going to find out that other people can come alongside and maybe help navigate you through that pit. Not fix you, but at least walk that journey with you. And then how do we live this out on our mission of loving God, loving others, and making disciples? Well, we have to live with eternity in view, remembering that this world is not our home. And if this world is not our home, we want the other people to know that. And so as we share the love and the word of Christ with others, our prayer and our hope is that they will come to know the same love and the same mercy and the same grace and the same God that we know. Father, I just thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for the opportunity as the church here, Father, to fix our eyes on Christ and to look forward to his return. But in doing so, Father, that we are working out our salvation, becoming more Christ-like, denying ourselves, forgetting about our past failures, our past accomplishments, and leaning into who you are creating us to be. And Father, we just thank you for that. And we pray all of this in the mighty name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen.